We're delighted to be coming to you from one of the most hallowed venues in all of college basketball, Cameron Indoor Stadium on the campus of Duke University, where the Tigers will play David to the Blue Devils Goliaths in just a few hours. And we're very happy that sharing this moment with us is Coach Mitch Henderson of the Princeton Tigers. Coach, we appreciate very much your sitting down with us.
Great to be here, George.
Your roster has two kids from North Carolina, sophomore Ryan Schwieger from Matthews and freshman Max Johns from nearby High Point. Does the fact that you have North Carolina kids, is that a factor at all in your scheduling a game in North Carolina?
I like to play games where everybody's from, so yeah, that makes a difference. But also it's Duke, and you know, you've got a Hall of Fame coach, the winningest coach in college basketball history. You've got a storied program and a very talented team. So it's, you know, we always want to challenge ourselves. In scheduling, this is a really big challenge.
But it's a challenge.
It's fun. We went over to Cameron last night to shoot a little bit, and you know, we're on the plane. And sometimes when you go after you've traveled and you get into an arena, the guys are a little, I don't know if sluggish, but maybe just, you know, they're sort of waking up, and there's not one guy that wasn't like excited to be in that gym. So this is a special opportunity, and we're respectful of that.
In just a short period of time, the kids have played at Madison Square Garden, and now at Cameron. It's got to be something they'll remember forever.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, of course, most of the people who will hear this interview are relatively serious fans of Tiger hoops. I want to start by asking you to explain your thinking the other day when you're playing Iona. You're down 9. And you put the freshman Drew Freiberg into the game, replacing Miles Stevens.
Well, I didn't, you know, we were struggling to score. And they weren't, you know, that we. I thought we were getting some decent looks, but you know, Drew. He's going to be a very good player here, and you know, that's always on me, you know, but like. I told multiple people this, but what I loved about Drew, you know, whether or not he made shots, and he did, and he made them in big moments, and he really put us on his back there for a few minutes. But when I said his name, you know, we had gotten it to 9, and I put Drew in, and as I said his name, Drew, you know, get in there. Like, I'm sure he didn't hear me very clearly, but he shot out of the cannon to get to the scores table, and, you know, that man, that's a really great trait to have. That's Drew. You know, he's always positive and wants to kind of do whatever he needs to do to help the group. And he just, boom, all of a sudden he was at the scorer's table. I love that. And that's what you want. When you're down 10 points on the road in the league, you want everybody, like, give me a shot. Like, I want an opportunity here. And every single guy on the team has got to do something to help contribute to the overall success of the group. And Drew did it right away with just his demeanor. You know, he's a happy kid, and it shows up when he plays.
Well, it certainly was an inspiration to us fans. He had struggled a little bit at home when you opened. I know his folks were there to see it. And he's just struggled. And he didn't get off the bench in December until you put him in.
Well, yeah, and I, you know.
And when you did, he made you look like a genius.
Yeah, well, you know, that's good players make good coaches, right? Like, but, you know, look, he's a freshman. I know he's going to make a lot of threes when he's a player here, but he can do a lot of other things too. And, you know, so he missed some shots, so keep shooting. And he didn't, you know, waver one bit while, you know, in that stretch. And I'm the coach, and I didn't play him. And we were going in a different direction, but I, you know, I'm so proud of him for staying with it and having an opportunity and taking advantage of it.
Well, with his size, I think he's probably going to be able to defend pretty well too as he gets going. But what a kick in the pants for him going forward. I'm sure he's going to help you a lot. Of course, Tiger fans are just ecstatic to see Jalen Llewellyn in his first two games. He stepped right in to play at the high level you knew he could produce. And he was rewarded yesterday, we understand, he's Ivy Player of the Week this week, which is a real thrill for him. How would you evaluate, what does his presence do for your club going forward?
Well, we're totally different. Jalen is, he's got real leadership qualities. We go into each game with keys, and this is, you know, we're preparing the guys to win every single game. And Jalen, the details, his ability to focus on those details is unlike any freshman I've ever seen. Now there's a talent level there, but his mental approach to thinking through the game and what needs to be accomplished is so high level. There was a moment during the game when we had gotten it to 5 or 6, and he's going down the court, and he's clapping his hands, and he's in his defensive stance, and he's got the look in his eye, and, you know, if you didn't know any better, he could look like a senior.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. For him to step onto the court at Madison Square Garden in his first collegiate appearance and light the place up is just extraordinary.
Jalen doesn't worry about what other people think, but he also is extremely humble, and his teammates respect him a lot. You know, yesterday when he was announced that he won Rookie of the Week, you know, every single guy on the team was so excited for him and happy for him, and that's a great quality about somebody. That I don't know if you go through trying to have everybody like you, but the group connects around him. He's very funny. He's got a little quirky sense of humor, but it's a good sense of humor, and it's okay to be a leader as a freshman, and he's doing that with the discipline and the details.
Well, he was recognized after the Iona game with a plaque of some sort. And the rest of the team was waiting for him to get back to the group, and everybody rubbed his head for good luck, I assume. But it was a real nice moment, and it was obvious that the kids were just sharing in that with him, and that there is a level of respect there that's unbelievable for a kid who's a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the key players who have helped the team improve rather steadily over the last several weeks are not rookies, but they are guys who have not seen a lot of action in their first two seasons. Jose Morales and Richmond Uribe-Ragoza. Now, we've known what Jose can do because we've seen flashes of it over his years here. But I guess he just needed a big chance to step up, and now he's a 30-minute per game guy. Tell us a little more about Jose.
I'm glad you asked, and I was hoping that we would be able to talk about both of them. Jose, you're right. Jose needs time. Kids need opportunities in games to work through things, and I feel like he's always been able to provide us a spark. But without Jalen, and without Devin and Jose in our very first game against Lehigh, our first Division I game, and then Jose allowed Devin to play a more natural position because he could handle the ball. And now he had 5 assists and 1 turnover against Iona. He's also a point guard, but Jalen and Jose knows this. This is what I'm really happy about with Jose, that the ball needs to be in Jalen's hands as much as possible. And Jose understands that. And, he's figured out other ways to help the team. He's almost leading the country in steals per minute. He's leading our team in charges, which is a huge difference maker in big games. Not only do you get the ball back, but you put a foul on somebody else, and there's no shot attempt. And
I wanted to mention that because the kid seems fearless.
Mm-hmm.
And when he takes a charge, it's always a guy who's 40 pounds heavier than he is, and he just gets in there.
And if you're watching him closely, you've noticed that he's got a gigantic sort of brace on his shoulder, and that shoulder kind of tends to give him a little bit of issues, probably something he's dealing with all season. And he continues to manage being able to not get hurt and being our guy that's consistently on the floor the most.
Well, it seems that as he gets minutes, he asserts himself offensively a little bit more. He takes some threes. He gets to the basket at big times. He's just, he's made it hard for you not to have Devin, Jalen, and Jose on the court at the same time, which is kind of a small team.
Small team, but a good problem to have. And because I want, you know, and I know you're going to ask me about Richmond next, but, you know, I want what Jose is in the program. I want what Richmond is in the program. And that isn't just production and steady and balance and consistent play. It's the heart. It's anybody. When I ask people that watch us play a lot, they're like, if they say Jose, they're like, man, I love Jose, right? And they, maybe they're fans or maybe they're not of the game, but they love what he is. And what he is a spark plug. He's a junkyard dog. He's ours, right? Like, and he puts himself out there. I love that.
Well, let's talk about Richmond for a moment. I remember describing...
I could go on and on here, George, so... You
well,
know.
As I've said before, the only way to get anything out of Coach Mitch Henderson is by listening. And they, whoever's listening wants to hear you, not me. But I do have to say, as far as Richmond is concerned, when he got here, what a presence. But I described him as unskilled, but a guy with that strength and size and work ethic, obviously a coach is going to give that kid anything he needs to get better. And my goodness, he's playing at a level now in the last several games that certainly has gone whatever I dreamed he could do. How about your dreams?
Yeah, well, I would say that I believe in players getting better. I mean, this was my path as a player, and you know, it was never lost on me how much time and attention was put into me and my development, how much I got better. And Richmond is, that's who he is. And the fact that it's coming together right before our eyes in a really wonderful way, right? Not just like it's happening, like he just looks like a totally different human being. But it's always been there. We've all known it. And he is a star of a human being, like an absolute star of a person off the court. And so, you know, he's one of those guys that it's so easy to talk about because it gives you goosebumps and, you know, on the back of your neck. And I'm so proud of him. He works so hard. When he plays well, the next day he bounds into the gym, ready to work. He has this pre-practice ritual that he does that it's so fun to watch him do. It takes him about 5 minutes, and he's created it himself. And if you watch him do it, he looks a little bit like the Giannis from Milwaukee Bucks. You know, he's out there and he's moving the ball around and he's working on his Mikens, and it's all the things that we told him. These are the things that you need to do to get better. And I can't tell you how many times I have that conversation with kids in the spring, and then it doesn't translate. So this is all Richmond. He is, again, we reward little things that you do during the game. We stat as a program, basically attitude plays, things that you can't really stat in a game that don't show up on the box score that help you win, maybe taking a charge or a deflection. And Richmond consistently, he and Jose actually are the tops for us in winning those categories.
A couple things that I've noticed as a fan of Richmond's game that do show up in the stat book. I don't think he's missed but one free throw in the last six games. That's the ability to make free throws from the five spot guy who's going to get to the line a lot is something that has not been a strength over the years. But this kid has, and he wasn't a good free throw shooter early on, and now very reliable.
Yeah, he's worked at it. All I can say is he's worked at it. He puts the time in. And he's confident, right? And sometimes you just need some time on the court, having some success. And, you know, these are kids after all, right? They're 18, 19. Richmond's one of the youngest juniors I've ever had. He's a very young, you know, he's 20. But we have some juniors that are 21, right? And he's just worked at this, George. I can only tell you, like, so proud of him because he represents what I want the program to be about, which is putting time into something. Don't pat yourself too hard on the back and get better at it.
Well, as a fan, we see what the work produces, and in his case, it's really been phenomenal. The other thing in the stat book I think is very important, and you might not agree with this, but it seems to me that he got in foul trouble unnecessarily at times early on in his career. Lately, Will Gladson's been injured. His time is restricted. Richmond knows he has to be on the floor, and he's not in foul trouble anymore. And I think that's rather extraordinary.
It's great. And, you know, the other night he missed taking a charge, which was ended up being his fourth foul. Jose actually gambled a little bit on a play, and the offensive player was coming right down the lane, and Richmond missed the charge. His foot was in the charge circle by about an inch. Now, he has huge feet. I think they're size 19s. So if you think about that, he was so close, but he took a charge, and ended up being a block. But if he had been one more inch out, it would have been a great charge, right? And it would have been his first career charge. There's a lot of firsts here with Richmond, but you know that just tells you he's all in.
He never got the fifth foul.
No, he didn't, and we needed all those valuable minutes from him.
Of course, Coach, the heart and soul of this team are your senior captains, Devin Kennedy and Miles Stevens. Those of us on the outside never really get a good chance to connect with kids as people. Now, they came in, of course, as teenagers. Now they're young adults. Tell us a little bit about, we know what they can do on the court, of course. Tell us a little bit about them as people.
Well, you mentioned Miles and Devin, but I also, if I can, take an opportunity to mention Noah and Elias. The senior class, as you know, usually sits down with the seniors in the spring, and we outline the things that we need to be to be successful as a group. And I think particularly at Princeton, it's the leadership of the seniors that the rest of the group follows. And they have to be both vulnerable and supporting the team, always supporting the team, right? They're asked to do a lot. Miles and Devin have done everything that I've asked them to do. Not only do they have to lead us, but they have to encourage other people to lead them, which they've both done. And Miles didn't get an opportunity. And when you mentioned when I put in Drew, you know, it was for Miles. But Miles was the happiest guy that we won. And I'm pleased for that. And we all know, like, Miles is going to have a great year. We're working through every single thing that he needs to work through. And I'm confident there, and I know Miles is too, and we're going to keep working at it. But the main thing is that the group gets better, and I think Miles believes that too. And Devin, of course, they're both pushing the level up. Yesterday I was sitting next to Ethan Wright, who has a hurt wrist. He's not going to play today. And I said, tell me, you know, because he and Devin maybe share some similarities in what they might be as players, scorers, shooters. And he said, you know, every day he's so consistent. And, you know, it's good to have a freshman say that about a senior.
Well, one thing I do notice, and you mentioned Noah and Elias, who of course have been around all through their careers. They're now seniors. They haven't played an awful lot, but we do observe how supportive they are. Mm-hmm. And what an example for the entire team to have kids who realize they're not going to play a great deal, but they're right there pushing everybody to be better.
In the current world, George, this is perhaps the most important thing about a team is the guys that don't play, how supportive they are, how invested they are in the success of the other guys. And what you don't see is the scout preparation. Noah is often the most difficult guy to guard on the other team, and he does it without asking for anything in return. And he's all in on what we're doing.
Well, Devin is regarded generally now, I think, nationally as one of the best shooters in college basketball.
I'm going to go one step further. I think he's the best shooter in college.
Well, I'm delighted to hear you say that, and I believe you're right. And for him, of course, range is not even a relevant category. Is it true that he once attempted a three while checking into the game?
Yeah, that's, I like that joke.
Well, I think somebody was guarding him when he was checking in, too. And I hope he has a big night tonight. And you mentioned that Miles has not had the kind of year that everybody who saw him play in his sophomore year expects him to have. What can you do to get him on track?
Watch some video with him, put him in positions of success, and continue to encourage him. You know, it wasn't that long ago that he had 19-11 against a Division I basketball team, you know, George Washington. That was in the beginning of the month. You know, that was only 2 weeks ago. You know, let's not hit the panic button. This is going to come around. Let's just keep supporting him. And, you know, Miles is, after all, like, he is still a kid too, right? Like, he is a grown adult. He's a senior. We want him to go and push himself and continue to try things. But, you know, sometimes when you're struggling, you just got to concentrate on one thing, maybe getting rebounds, maybe guarding, and that kind of gets you on track. But
Well, he's always going to get the other team's toughest guy and toughest front court player, and that's a huge load for him to have to carry, but he's the guy in that regard.
Yeah, and expectations are high, and people have seen Miles perform at a very high level, and so everyone wants to see that again, but you know, it's not a straight line success, right? Or getting to success. Sometimes we have to figure out what it is and then address it and keep supporting him.
Coach, I appreciate again your taking time, a busy day getting ready to play Duke. Let me just ask you for a moment or two to comment on the rest of the league. You're just a couple of weeks, you're going to open against Penn at home and then Penn on the road. I know you've had a chance to see other teams play. What do you think, how does this league compare so far to past seasons? It seems to me the talent level is deeper than ever, and it's going to be a struggle.
Yeah, I agree. And Penn looks to be playing the best basketball in our league, and some of the best basketball nationally. They have that look. You know, they've got freshmen contributing and playing well. They've got junior and senior leadership. They're defending. They're tough. Obviously, we all know the Villanova win, right?
They look like the better team.
They look like a better team, and they look like they have really good players. So those are we get them early. Obviously, here in less than a month, twice. So the challenge is right up front for our group. But you know, I think Yale looks really good. I think Harvard looks good. I was just watching Cornell last night. Brian's team. They had a nice win last night at home. Brown's had some nice wins. Dartmouth, of course.
Dartmouth has more wins at this point than Coach McLaughlin has achieved in any season.
Yeah.
So they're ready to go.
Yeah, they look good, and they've got a New Jersey kid who's really scoring a lot, a kid named Brendan Berry. So, you know, you're always watching the league. You know, it's sort of like you've got all this noise right in front of you, but we're always talking about the league, and I'm sure other people are doing the same. It's you know, once we hit league, we have such an interesting schedule, right? Because we play Penn twice, and then we're off for a few weeks. Then we come back to it after the exam break. So February, you know, I think that our group is just coming together right now for us, right? And I'm very excited about what we can be going forward. But each day we've said no one can get better, more better than us, George, in the next than day-to-day than Princeton. We've got to get so much better each game out. And as long as we're committed to doing that and staying connected and not pulling away from each other, I think we can be very good.
And I think that's what we've seen lately. Well, again, thanks very much for being with us. You know how the David and Goliath story unfolded. So let's hope for some magic tonight. Good luck from all of us at Ivy Hoops Online. Thanks again, Mitch.
Thanks, George.